Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the theme, what sort of people are we? Who are we at the Vineyard and at Wharfdale Vineyard in particular? And I introduced, next slide please, I introduced the picture of the vineyard person to help us understand who this was. We've looked at a number of things. Who are we? Where we come from? Some of the history, where we're going. The issue is standing on the kingdom of God, one of our major theologies. We talked about people who live a Bible-based life. We spent a week looking at what is church. We looked at a people who will pray, a people who will minister with the poor. Last week, a people who will plant churches. And this week, it worked. Under the title of Renewal of the Church, I don't know if you can see that, it's a bit small, but a people who will bless the whole church. Yeah, there you go. And this will end this particular series. We're going to go on over the next few weeks, although in a couple of weeks' time we've got Ashley Hardingham from Chapel A coming to visit, so that'll be fun. But over the next few weeks we're going to be talking more, we're going to focus for a few weeks on this whole issue of the property that we're looking at. And I want to give you some exciting news. We had a trustees meeting on Monday, and the trustees, somewhere between sheer panic and elation, voted that we go for this midweek premises building that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. So we've instructed our agent, Nigel, to enter into sort of formal negotiations and get that process underway. I'm shaking with nerves over this, but I'm also really excited. It's funny, when I was talking to the trustees, they went from a sort of, to a yes, over the course of a few minutes, and it's very exciting, and we'll be talking about it a fair bit. I do not want this to be the focus of Wharfdale Vineyard, but for this particular few weeks, it will be, just because it's a big item on the menu that we need to chew and swallow. But it's not who we are. It won't be who we are. We're not about buildings. We're not about bricks and mortar. But for this period of time, we're going to enter into this transaction, which is, I'll talk more about this a bit next week, but it's going to be something beyond anything we can conceivably, rationally do. It's got to be a God thing. And we want to turn around in a few weeks' time and say, wow, look at what God's done. Not, didn't you organize that well and haven't we been generous? But look at what God's done. That's what we want to say. So we're going to be talking about what that building might enable us to do as a church. We're going to be talking about our part, the part we can play in helping fund it and get it ready and move in. And it's going to take us through a journey which will challenge us on a number of levels. We'll be asked to move outside of our comfort zone, way beyond anything that's probably asked us to do that before. And that will take us on a discipleship track, which some of us are going to find really difficult. I will, already have, as I've been thinking and praying for it. But we feel this is the right time. It seems to be God's hands on it. It seems to be moving inexorably in this direction. Very exciting. It's going to change the face of what we do and enable us to move up several gears. It's very exciting. We'll talk about that in the next few weeks. But this week, I want to finish off this series by looking at, we are a people who will bless the whole church. If you've got a Bible, would you like to find Matthew chapter 10? If you don't have a Bible, there's several on the tables around. Just nick one of those. If you don't possess a Bible, then you're free to help yourself to one of these and take it away with you. We've got lots. And we'd rather you had one free than not at all. I'd like to find Matthew chapter 10. Matthew is in the New Testament, which is the right-hand side of the book. It was written in the later period, which is why it's called New, and it's a story about Jesus written probably by a guy called Matthew. That's why it's called Matthew. It's good stuff, this, isn't it? You're learning stuff? Okay, let's look at verses 1 to 10. This is one of Jesus' first sort of job descriptions, or one of the first times he does a mission spec, a strategy. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, and who was called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go the way of the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. We've looked at that in some depth over the last few weeks. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. We've been looking at that in the gatherings over the last few months, and we'll be doing next month as well. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Now, you have to set that passage alongside Matthew 28, which we've referred to several times, which is Jesus' final commission to the disciples after his ascension, where he broadens that thing about going out to the whole world. At this point, though, he's focusing it on the geographical area of Israel, not so much the ethnic area, but the geographical area. We could spend a long time on this. There's lots of wisdom in here about how we should go about our business of being church, being a community of faith. And I haven't got time, and it's not appropriate to go into all of this at this moment, but I want to look in at the key verse of verse 8. Go to the next slide, please. Freely you have received, freely give. Let's just pray before I get any further and forget. Lord, I ask you to come. I thank you for your presence here in the worship and for the way you ministered to us. You are Lord. You're completely in charge. And everything we do and say and want to do and say, we want to put under your kingship. And I pray that as we talk about this issue of how we relate to other churches and the outward expression of people who follow you, that you'll give us wisdom and understanding. I pray that what I say will be helpful and that the things that aren't will be forgotten quickly and dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen. N.T. Wright, the theologian currently Bishop of Durham, translates this: the message was free when you got it, make sure it's free when you give it. The message, Eugene Peterson, he translates this: you have been treated generously, so live generously. The Amplified Bible, that's the one that you read if you're hard of hearing, says, give as freely as you have received. How are we to think and act towards other communities of faith, other churches? And I think this verse gives us the clue. This gives us the succinct point from which to start. It's natural that we would find one particular expression of faith and worship more appealing than others. It's partly our temperament and sort of people we are. It's partly our culture. It's our upbringing. And of course, it's our theology, the way we believe, the way we've learned to believe. There's the difference between individual vineyards. I mean, vineyards are quite characteristically similar, but there's some very big differences. Anthony and Jane's, Anthony's brother and his family go to St. Albans Vineyard, and their young nephew turned up here a few weeks ago having on visit and complained loudly that this was not a proper vineyard because we didn't have donuts halfway through. Okay? So I think we still are a vineyard despite lack of donuts, but it's a distinct difference. I would prefer donuts, but I'm told that we have to have healthy food. So I think what you've had out there is healthier. Was it? Did you have donuts today? With chocolate on. Well, that's us, isn't it? Donuts with chocolate. Forget the jam. Chocolate. There will be differences between vineyards. There'll be differences between different Protestant churches, different denominations, different countries. The one consistent thing is that people tend to fall asleep in churches. Especially at the gathering when it's a bit darker in here. People tend to fall asleep. Oh, the snows are back. Did you get up and down that mountain all right? They've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. Woo! And got a tan in the process. Very good. Sorry. Yes, people tend to fall asleep in churches. You know what they said about... if you took everyone who fell asleep in church and laid them all out end to end, they'd be a lot more comfortable, wouldn't they? No, there's some differences. Some of the differences are because we have different preferences. We just like things slightly different. It makes this special for us. And we spent some time recently I think we talked about it here a bit and also in some other meetings, about what makes Wharfdale Vineyard particularly special to us. Things like that we are an empowering, not a controlling environment, that we have an opt-out characteristic. In other words, we don't tell everybody what to do. You can come and go as you please. You can stand up and worship, or you can sit down. You can lift your hands, or you can not. You can stay in bed and read the paper on a Sunday. We don't force people to do that. We also build into that the discipline of rest by having like the fifth Sundays or a weekend off and all of August off. Those are disciplines of rest. They're unusual. We try to be unchurchy and more accessible. We try to avoid jargon and blur some of the language boundaries. We try to give people space to think. It's not a rigid, this is what thou must believe, but give people space to work it out and to read the Bible and come to their own conclusions, not a party line. We try and do theology as a communal practice, things like the Idea Factory and thinking aloud and house groups. We try and work it out and discuss it and do it as a community thing. We have a life craft focus, trying to blur some of the relevance boundaries. We try and invest in art and creativity. We'd like to do a lot more of that. We value the quality of musicianship. It's very important to us is participative worship, that we all join in. It's not just a performance. We value authenticity, being real with each other. Somebody said to me, "You're not just authentic; it's outrageous disclosure that we try and model here." That we say stuff we go to the extreme, and maybe we say too much sometimes. But we want to be real with each other and honest. Sport. We don't just watch it, we do it. We were doing it this morning. They were playing football just before we started. That's a significant part of what we do. The meals and food, especially with chocolate. Very important to us. Perhaps too important to us, possibly. The way we try and do reach out, ministry with the poor, with house groups and through house groups. That's a significant thing for us. Perhaps one of the most key things is our intergenerational expression of faith, like the first 15 minutes here that we do, or what we used to do on Sunday 3, or mini cabs, or we place great value on family, not just the family unit, but family. Now, if you look around Leeds or Harrogate or York, you'd find lots of other good, white, mainly middle class, mainly Protestant, mainly churches, wouldn't you? Old Town Baptist just up the road, Chapel A, St. George's. In many ways similar to us, but they wouldn't have those characteristics that I've just described. And that's why many of us make this our home, because we love that. It's special to us. But it's not a deep thing. It's more of a sort of just, it's a preference. There are some things where we disagree. Matters of belief or theology or practice, the way we do stuff, or style, the way in which we do stuff, or structure. For some, the issue of baptism is the real deal. So they'll go to the Baptist church because they believe in baptism, or they won't because they don't. For us, that's not a big deal. We don't really mind how much water you use when you get baptized. Or one-man ministry versus everybody joining in together. That's a really important theology for us, that everybody gets to play. It's not just one person at the front doing it all. And I personally wouldn't go to a church where it was like that. That, for me, is a disagreement. That would mean that I'd want to find somewhere that was more like it. We tend to I would disagree with the churches which used a lot of emotion and a lot of hype to try and get the point across. For me, that's a point of disagreement that I couldn't compromise on. Or the style of leadership. Some people prefer democratic models. Some people prefer the church meeting. Or team ministry. The Vineyard has a different. It's more of a leadership-oriented structure. Hopefully wise, accountable, transparent leadership. And that's and you'd need to really agree with that form of leadership if you go into that sort of church. So there are matters of disagreement which are fairly strongly held, but don't mean that we have to fall out or anything. It just means that would probably dictate the type of church you went to or community of faith in which you got involved. There's some things which you really dislike about other churches. Frankly, I know it may not be politically correct to say so, but that is the truth. I personally struggle with prosperity teaching. I really dislike it. It makes me very uncomfortable. I don't like anything that it comes across as money-grabbing. You go walk into the church and they want your money. Anything that sends that message, I really dislike. It's not just a disagreement. That's something that upsets me. I get I get upset about the whole multi-faith, extreme liberal positions. I'm not saying they're wrong. It's just something that really doesn't sit with me at all comfortably. I find it very, I dislike it. I watch Ian Paisley ranting and raving and distracting. Ranting and raving, and that really offends me, his style. I really dislike abusive leadership. And I know many people who've come to this church out of a background of abusive leadership, where they look at me and they're asking me the question. I can see it in their eyes. They're saying, are you going to abuse me? Now, I still think they're churches. I still think they're doing, in many ways, great jobs. But for me, there's a profound dislike there. And given the chance, I would enter into some sort of discussion about those issues with them. There are different levels, aren't there, whereby we like and dislike churches. John Wimber used to tell a very funny story about how he went to do a renewal weekend in the church, which did the snake handling thing. You know, at the end of Mark, it talks about you better pick up snakes and they won't bite you. And he went to one where they brought out a box of snakes and started putting their hand in. I would struggle with that as well, frankly. Don't do it. I can imagine if Ben Newman brought that up in the first 15 minutes. Ooh, we're going to do snakes today. Come on, children. How do you fancy the panther, the cobra? Don't pick up or the rattlesnake. On the other hand, I love other expressions of church which are very unlike ours. I love the Roman Catholic Church for its ministry with the poor. Way beyond anything we can do or have done. I love the Orthodox Church for their awareness of the awesomeness of God, their worship. I love the Pentecostal Church for the sheer enthusiasm. That makes us look like wet blankets, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? Look at us sitting around. They wouldn't be doing that. They'd be going, preach it, brother. Or try harder. Or something. Yeah, thank you. Who said that? I love the Church of England with their parish infrastructure, the way their system covers a whole country, and the vicars consider their responsibility, everybody in their parish. I love that system. I think it's incredible. I love the way the NFI, New Frontiers, the way they intentionally church plant. They have the same church planting priority we do, but they're very intentional and organized about the way they do it. I think it's brilliant. But they're very different from us. And there's enough differences in the preferences and possibly in the disagreements, which means I probably wouldn't align myself with those churches. But there's some great stuff there as well. Despite all these differences, some are serious and some are not. Here's the thing. God seems to have enough grace and mercy to love them and to use them. All. Even the snake handlers. It's incredible. I mean, I would have a chat with God about this and say, are you sure you want to let those guys get some credit for doing kingdom stuff? But he does. He loves them. There are things about the way Abundant Life in Bradford do business which I don't like. But wow, they can minister with the poor. They leave the rest of us in Leeds and Bradford standing. No one's anywhere near them. So until we can minister with the poor like them, no argument. God is obviously blessing their ministry, and it's up to me to get on my knees and ask him what we need to do differently and ask him to bless us too. Next slide, please. Jesus said this. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. That's what he said. That doesn't mean just us here. That's probably hard enough with us here. In fact, it's probably hard enough in your house group. And it's much harder if you go outside. It's people with whom we might disagree or even dislike what they do. But he said, love one another. Next slide. He went on to say a couple of chapters later, love each other as I have loved you. That's a big call. And he wasn't saying, the way I've loved you in the vineyard. He said, the way I've loved you, all of them, however they've spun out over the years. He loves them all. Jesus loves the whole church. And he said quite clearly, I love the whole church. I want you to love the whole church. It's really, really important that we love the whole church. We don't have to like them. We don't have to agree with them. We don't even have to force unity with them. But we do have to love them, to extend grace and mercy. Verse 8 gives us the clue. Freely have you received, freely give. God has, you and I don't deserve what we've been given. God has been ridiculously compassionate and merciful to forgive and save me and you. Freely we received his mercy. Freely we received his grace. Freely we received his favor. Freely we've received his healing. Freely we've received his blessing. Freely we've received his acceptance. He has allowed us to find a church that we love, one where, for this season perhaps, we can worship and serve and give. We can invest our time here. We can know his hand on our lives here. We've received this freely and generously from here. The least we can do is to be generous to others. So, what does this look like? Number one, we're going to pursue our priorities. We will pursue our priorities. The Vineyard person we've looked at before has these different priorities, and the legs are worship and intimacy and compassion. We looked at that in the first couple of weeks. And those will always be our priorities, and that's where we'll put our time, our money, our energy in. That's what we have been called to, and that's what we will invest in. So although we will work with other churches, it'll not be at the loss of that to which we've primarily been called. We'll partner with other churches. One of the most effective ways of seeing the kingdom of God expanded is to work alongside other churches. We could start projects, but what's the point of us starting a project if there's one that's close enough to what we would want to do somewhere else, probably done better for longer with better reputation? Right. Tim agrees with me. So let's partner with other churches. I think probably the closest one that we've got at the moment is with St. George's, in that we've got a lot of relationship with from the senior leadership through to everybody else, and we've done some various things together. We've spent time together, we've studied together, we've shared together, we've prayed for each other, we've preached at each other's services. But we could partner with them. One thing that we initiated with them was the Burn service, which we ran two or three times last year or the year before, which was a particular gathering type service for younger people. And we took to the party worship and ministry. That was stuff that God's given us. It was on the legs. And we took that, and they provided the building and preaching and the infrastructure and the name and the reputation. So it was a partnership, and it was wonderful, and it worked really well for two or three times, and it's kick-started their evening service back into gear, and it's just taken off since then. Wonderful, great, partnering in kingdom stuff. Or St. George's Crypt, which is obviously there. I mean, they've been doing it 100 and something years. It's an extraordinary ministry. No way we could touch that, but we can support them. Some of you have worked there and worked as volunteers there. We give money to them, and given any opportunity, we'd want to partner with them. So partnership is something we can do. There's a good example with them. Mission trips are another one. At the moment, we work quite a lot with Mission Direct, which is an agency which puts people in different churches together to go out on mission in five or six different parts of the world. So we work effectively with other churches through the agency of Mission Direct. Or we got half a dozen churches in this area called Churches Together in Chapel Allerton, and there's the same where I live up in further north, and then those of you in Harrogate, and you'll have churches together around there. And within reason, we want to try and build relationship with them. What I would say by reason is just that it's time-consuming. So within the time available, we want to build relationship with them and work with them. And locally, we've had them come and preach here, and as I said, Ashley's going to be coming. He's from one of the local churches. We did a big, big summer barbecue, do you remember, down at Meanwood last summer, which was a stunning success. We're going to do that again. That's a joint partnership between those four or five churches. We had an evening service, which we sponsored here last year, just because they had a visiting speaker they wanted to use, and we were the best option for hosting it. Another way in which we partner is things like Revive festivals. Revive, which is the camping weekend in June, with all the vineyards in the north of the country. So that's not other denominations, it's just Vineyard, but it's all the vineyards working together to do a weekend together where we can worship and pray and have lots of fun and barbecues and a roast hog, which does offend the vegetarians. I'm sorry about that. You can get vegetarian burgers, I understand, but you have to go the other side of the marquee, otherwise you might see this thing being roasted. I digress. Ashburnham is a summer holiday we do every couple of years down in Ashburnham, which is in East Sussex, and that's a combination of a number of different churches, some in Leeds and some from Bristol and around, who come together to have a holiday together. It's a fantastic week in itself, and it's a really good example of partnering with other churches. So we'll partner with others. We'll protect their reputation. We must speak well of other churches and their leaders. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything. I mean that. I know it's easy to compare, oh, the way we do worship is better, the way we do this is better. If you're implying that somebody else is not so good, just stop talking. Don't say it. It doesn't help. Let's protect their reputation. In our value statement, if you look this up on the website or if you have one of these old leaflets, it says this in our values. Unity. We recognize that all who are disciples of Jesus are part of his church. We will honor all other Christians. It's one of our values. We will honor all other Christians. That means we will avoid sheep stealing, trying to entice other people from other churches. We will do what we can be sensitive to other churches' plans and presence. Somebody has just suggested to me, for example, that we use the Queen's Arms on Harrogate Road for an event. It's a great pub. It's got, you know, the very flexible people there. The trouble is that Chapel A use them quite a lot. I consider that to be Chapel A's patch. So although it might suit us really, really well, I'd rather do it somewhere else because I don't want to step on Ashley's toes. I'm sure he wouldn't mind, but I just think it'd be better, more politic to keep. There's lots of other spaces we can go to. So let's be sensitive to them. Let's avoid stepping on their toes if at all possible and make sure we keep talking to them and keeping communication. Let's protect them. In the 24/7 room a few months ago, I was praying about this and I felt God gave me a very specific word about this, which was do not disrupt, do not dislodge, do not entice. Do not disrupt, dislodge, or entice. And the picture I had in my mind was of a church as a building where the bricks are made up of people. So St. George's is one building and South Parade was another and Moortown was another and we were another. When the bricks were the people. And God was forbidding us to go to other buildings and try and disrupt what those people are doing and dislodge the bricks. You know what I mean? And entice them out. Do not disrupt, do not dislodge, do not entice. And it wasn't just a sort of gentle sort of, do you want to think about this, David? It was a, don't do this. So we won't do that. And I feel it's like one of those things that God's going to hold me accountable to. And I'm more scared of him than I am of you. So that if I find people doing that, I'm going to jump all over you. I really don't want you to do that. Let's protect their reputation. Fourthly, we'll pray for them and share with them. I don't just mean intercessory prayer, though we will do that. I mean for the opportunity to minister to people who are in other churches, other communities of faith, neighbors, friends, family. Bless them at every opportunity. Two main areas that this works out in. One is that we've been given a great heritage in the Vineyard of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, praying for each other. The thing that we've been doing in the gathering for the last few months, how to pray for the sick and all that type of thing. It's something we've freely received, that whole heritage. So, freely give it away. So don't be afraid when you're talking to somebody from another church who might not have that type of ministry or be aware of that. If their leg hurts, lay hands on it. Well, if you're a bloke and it's a woman, don't. But you know what I mean. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. If they've lost their job, say, can I pray for you? Put your hand on them. Right then and there, put your hand on them and say, Lord, bless them as they look for a job or whatever it is. Pray for them. Lay hands on the sick or the troubled. And don't be afraid of doing that because we sometimes think that that's treading on the toes stuff that I was talking about before. It isn't. That's a gift we've been given which we can give away easily. It's the most powerful thing you could probably do, really, is just to pray for people, including people in other churches. The other thing that we've got a great heritage of is worship and music. It's hard to overstate this. Those of you who are newer to the Vineyard may not be aware, but before the Vineyard came on the market, really, in the early 80s, there wasn't such a thing as worship music. It just didn't exist as a category. And now it's one of the highest selling parts of the music world. It's largely down to the vineyard. Vineyard's had an impact in this area out of all proportion to its size. It's a God thing. And God has continued to give us this as a really special thing, and has given us songwriters and musicians way beyond any right we have to that type of level of competence and gifting. So give it away. Freely we receive, freely give. Give away our CDs and our records. Give away our songs. When you're asked to lead worship, do so at the drop of a hat, whenever we get the chance. It's just something God's given us. And when we go to a church or to another group of some sort, just picking up your guitar or your keyboard, whatever it is you do, or introducing a song or a CD, there's something special about that. There's something we do with that which nobody else does us quite in the same way. So the Burn Service was a really good example of those two things. Mark Sunderland, who was a Vineyard worship leader, led worship, and they just loved it. It was just so special to them. And then I did some ministry at the end and tried to teach them how to pray for the sick, because most of them, it was the first time they'd ever seen anything like that. So sometimes we get to do that type of renewal ministry, either formally in church or just one-on-one, which means go for it. Go for it. That's hence the title on the Vineyard person of a renewal ministry. Sometimes we get a chance to take a team to a church to teach them and pray them on these things. So we would do that without charging them, of course, which is the other part of Jesus' commission there, but we'll talk about that another time. So we seek to ensure that the Wharfdale Vineyard has a reputation for being a people who will bless the whole church. Okay? Is that a deal? You happy with that? Great. I think the Lord wants to minister today. He usually does. For one or two of you, I don't think many, but for some of you, what I've just said has challenged you and you need to repent. And you might need to go and do something with a shredder, or just get somebody and say, I've messed up on this. I've spoken badly about another church or whatever. And just say you're sorry, get them to pray for you and get rid of it, okay? So I'm putting that out there. Two or three of you know exactly who you are. Please do that. I'm not going to make you stand up and anything like that. Alison, would you come and give me a hand? Julie, would you come and give me a hand? Let's stand and ask the Lord what he wants to do. Lord, I ask you to come. Let's just wait on him. We've got some time. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. I think he wants to minister to us. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's just wait.